Welcome to this episode of The Good Fork with host Diana Edelman of Vegans Baby. We're bringing you interesting conversations, interesting people with a plant-based twist. Hello, hello. I am so excited for today's guest on The Good Fork, the founder and head creamstress of Paradise City Creamery in Las Vegas, Nevada, Valerie Stunning. Valerie Stunning always knew, in addition to her fascination with crafting decadent plant-based ice cream, the real magic she'd bring to Vegas' scoop scene was raw inspiration born from a love and respect of her previous glittering neon worlds, where she celebrated indulgence on international stages for nearly a decade naked. Though for Valerie, celebrating indulgence is more than a euphemism or hashtag. It's a reckoning that the act of consciously indulging in what we find pleasurable can be transformative in spite of societal judgment. It's through her passion for creating bold flavor profiles and facilitating inclusive experiences, she aims for Paradise City Creamery to be the pleasure she wishes to see in the world. And let me tell you, it is. If you're listening to this in the summer, she's just launched new luscious flavors you can pick up from 5 to 10 p.m. every Friday and Saturday at Garage East in the Las Vegas Arts District. Now, what I love most about Valerie is her openness and honesty and her standing up for sex workers and helping to normalize the conversation. So today, we are talking obviously about ice cream, but also about stripping and her advocacy in this episode. Enjoy. I'm here today for the Good Fork podcast. We are doing it live on Facebook as well because, I mean, why not? So I have Valerie here today from Paradise City Creamery. And I first met Val at Life is Beautiful. She did a pop-up next to the farm stand that I curated. And I had her ice cream and I seriously didn't believe her that it was vegan. It's the most amazing ice cream I've ever had in my entire existence. So, Val, welcome. I am so happy to have you here. How are you this fine Groundhog Day Monday?
It is a Groundhog Day. It's like It's a Friday, you know, whatever. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, of course. So I want to kick it off. Like, first off, Paradise City Creamery is about the most badass thing I've seen to pop up in Las Vegas in a really long time. You got on the scene, you said you debuted May 2019, so not even a year because it was unstripped. So you're at almost a year. And in that year, you have just dominated. I see you everywhere. You have just really kind of grabbed the ice cream market here. And And the thing is, what's so amazing is everybody loves you and you're plant-based. So you're like sneaking in that plant-based into the mix. And I just so appreciate that. How did you start Paradise City Creamery? What made you just wake up and just be like, I'm going to launch a plant-based ice cream company?
Girl, it was a necessity.
Fair. I mean, that's true.
Honestly, So how I started making ice cream came, I guess, at this moment when I was stopping to party as much as I was, because I was living on the road for a long time as a traveling stripper and burlesque dancer. So with that comes a lifestyle. And I was weaning off of that lifestyle. So I wasn't going out as much to bars. And I was realizing that when I still had the same hours as when I did go out and do all those things. So it'd be like late at night, I'd want to do something, but I wouldn't want to be surrounded by people who are getting tanked all the time. So what would I do? I would go out and like try to find some ice cream, some late night dessert, because I love it. However, don't love dairy. And my body doesn't love dairy. And it was really tough for me to find places that I could find something that was legit, like tasted really good, didn't give me a nasty sugar hangover.
Yeah.
I was packed with a bunch of teenagers or 5-year-olds even, and just like catered to my sense of decadence.
Okay.
Wanting to be like surrounded by like-minded people who were just kicking it out, you know, but weren't trying to like get sloppy ass drunk.
Yep.
And so I started making ice cream as a hobby to kind of fill that void. And then when I got really good at it and friends were like, you should think about like selling this, I was like, nah. Okay, if I did, what would it look like? What would it feel like? And it got me thinking, and that's pretty much the birth of the concept.
So were you just make, you were making it in your home? Did you have like an ice cream maker?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I, okay, so I have very expensive taste. You can line up 8 things in a row in front of me and I won't know which one's the most expensive, but I will always pick the most expensive one, right? So when I started as a hobbyist making ice cream, or deciding that I wanted to make ice cream, I went and bought the Cadillac of ice cream makers, like home ice cream makers. I went and spent $400 on this Breville, and it's beautiful, stainless steel, does all these things. And yeah, I used it. I was in the kitchen like maybe 6 to 8 hours a day just fucking around with it because I was fascinated by how it works and what it could do. And I was also, you know, flushing a lot of ice cream down the toilet because it's hard to make ice cream.
No. Oh.
Yeah. It's hard. Like if you're really trying, especially plant-based, if you're really striving to make quality stuff that isn't watery or grainy or like freezes beautifully, it's hard. So yeah, there was a lot of ice cream in the toilet.
So where did you have you made ice cream before? Like before all this started, had you ever like been like, I'm just gonna make ice cream? No.
No, actually, I'm just a crafty bitch, to be honest. Before I was fucking around with ice cream, I was making costumes for when I was doing burlesque.
Right?
So in this period of me phasing out this party lifestyle, I was also in transition from pretty much from my showgirl world, just being like, do I want to continue doing this? What's next for me? Mm-hmm. And like in that transition, I wasn't spending the time on costumes anymore because I wasn't building the acts. So if you're not building, you need to build the costume, right?
Yeah.
And that void of like creativity, pretty much ice cream just took that over.
That's amazing. I love it. So what was your first flavor?
It was peanut butter. My first attempted flavor was a peanut butter with like a dark chocolate, I guess a stracciatella. I was trying to do that, but I didn't really know what I was trying to do. I was just like, oh, chocolate. Let's fuck around and see what happens.
I mean, peanut butter is one of my favorite food groups. So I love that you started with that. And so how did the whole concept come about, Paradise City? Because, I mean, your brand is very, I mean, not disco, but you've got like the disco glitter cherry balls. You're just very, how do you describe your brand?
Flashy and decadent and a celebration of indulgence, really. Like from that void of not making costumes anymore, I channeled all the glitter and the sparkles that I was getting from making costumes into making ice cream. You know, it wasn't just like, I'm going to make something that I like and that tastes good. It really needs to draw me in and dazzle me. I couldn't just sit there and make something that was boring. I had to go all the fuck, you know?
So what kind of flavors were your first ones out?
The first ones when we first started, you mean when we first launched?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On our cart that night was a coconut vanilla bean stracciatella.
Oh my God.
And that was what we also had with Festa at Vegas Unstripped for the Affogato collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also were doing our charcoal bourbon cherry.
I feel like I've had that one at Life is Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the black one.
Yes, okay.
With the bourbon soaked roasted cherries.
So good. So good. So where do you come up? Oh, go ahead.
No, sorry. I was just going to say, I always like having one flavor that people are like, okay, that seems safe. Something I can identify with. I may have like, you know, I may have had these ingredients somewhere else before. And then one flavor where people are like, I don't fucking know about that.
Yeah.
This is wild, but maybe I want to try it.
So what's your most wild flavor then?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think the charcoal first was really out there for a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
Can you do this? Is this safe? Can you put charcoal in your body? Really? Lately, I've been really getting into spicy things.
Okay.
Last season, we had a yuzu ice cream with a wasabi frosting.
Oh my God. Yum.
And people were like, wasabi in ice cream? And it's actually, yeah. If the ratio is right, you know?
It's good. We did it when we did the James Beard dinner, the first one in last July. One of the chefs made a wasabi sorbet to go with the dish. It was really good. Nice. Really good. So how did you end up actually starting your business?
Oh, you mean like the nuts and bolts of businessing?
Yeah, like I mean, so your background's not that. Your background's not ice cream.
No,
How
it's stripping.
do you go from stripper to businesswoman?
You spend a lot of hours reading. You fall down endless vortexes on the internet, and I personally went to the SBA a few different times. I sat through a lot of their hour-long seminars on how to start a business and what do you need to do. And I did a lot of reading, and then I listened to like endless podcasts that just like hyped me up. You can do this. I feel like transitioning from stripping to starting a business, yes, there are a lot of transferable skills. However, it's intimidating. It's hard to know even the most basic like things on where to begin. Like, how do you find a commissary kitchen? What do you need to look out for when you're signing your first lease? Where do you even buy an ice cream fucking machine? You know, these sort of things that just feel overwhelming at first. So, yeah.
So, I went to the SBA maybe like 2 years ago because I wanted to get investors. And I went and I told them I met with like an advisor. And he was like, "Oh, what a cute hobby you have." And like that was it. He's like, "I think it's just a hobby." And I was like, "Wait, what? You just, I'm sorry." And I left there and I called my mom and I'm like, "Mom, he told me Vegan's Baby was a hobby." I mean, how your experience had to have been different than that. Or did they tell you like you're cute, have like go make your ice cream and do something else too?
Okay, so to be completely honest, when I first was getting out there and asking people for help, I wasn't talking about the full concept because I was actually afraid of that happening. Like there's so much of my world from stripping and burlesque and community organizing that I bring into the brand. And I always knew that I wanted to really go there and put messaging forward, and trying to explain that in the context of ice cream is really fucking hard. It's a lot for people to swallow, so to speak. So I actually didn't really talk about my concept like completely when I went there.
So, how do you explain your concept now? Now that you are out there and you're kicking ass, explain your concept.
I pretty much Paradise City Creamery is a celebration of indulgence, right? And what I like to say is with each scoop, we aim to be the pleasure we wish to see in the world. And so we encourage that in others. Like we celebrate indulgence in terms of, ice cream is obviously indulgent. And I think a lot of shame and a lot of guilt in people sometimes for doing things that feel good or that are pleasurable. And there's a lot of that same sentiment that I really preach when I do work in community organizing, and I was blogging for a long time, and that kind of sentiment comes across a lot in sex and sex work. So it's really a hybrid of all of that.
So, and you've been very vocal about sex work and your background and the work you do in the community. Can you talk a little about that? Because I always read your Instagram and you always have such insightful, just very thoughtful things you talk about on there, and they're just so eye-opening and educational. So I know you're doing a lot to kind of elevate that world as well. Why you have this platform of ice cream, you're also really kind of, I feel you're changing the way people look at sex work.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Thank
you're welcome.
you for seeing us. I really mean that. Honestly, I feel ice cream is this medium for me. It's this great way to create more visibility of a world and a community that I really love and believe in, and that unfortunately has this deep-seated stigma attached to it. And because ice cream is so fun and playful and inherently sexual, let's be real, how come no one been there before, you know? I just see it as this awesome chance to kind of, bridge the two together. Excuse me, allergy season is really kicking my ass. But I speak of
It's
seriously. And the killer hornets. Let's not even talk about those.
Oh, the murder hornets? I'm not. Yeah, we can't. That's a whole other conversation.
But I see branding behind Paradise City Creamery as a great way to bring in this visibility to this world that I come from, that a lot of people have these misconceptions about.
What do you think are some of the biggest misconceptions?
That it's not real work. That's probably one of the biggest. There's so many people who are like, you should, like, if you don't like what's going on about it, if you can't handle, like, the fact that more violence happens to sex workers than any other industry because we're not protected. And there's so much lack. It's really hard to protect people with labor rights when you're not validated as a labor group.
Yeah.
And so when people hear arguments, or sometimes I got a lot of pushback. I used to get a lot of pushback, not so much anymore, from people who are like, well, if you don't want to deal with the consequences, then you shouldn't be doing this kind of work. And it's like, well, that's not really how it goes. You know, people didn't say that to factory workers 100 years ago when they were hiring like children and when they were making you work 100 hours a week. What they did is they recognized that this was a labor group contributing to the economy, and they learned how to implement things that would protect them and have their conditions safer.
Yeah.
And it's just don't do the work. But it's different with sex work, you know, just like the shame and the guilt attached to being indulgent and really like finding pleasure in things, right? Obviously there's this with sex in general. And yeah. So when you do together, people just like, it's not a concept to them that doing something that's pleasurable and offering a service that's consensual and that has agency, you know, doesn't translate to real work for some reason.
So what have you been doing in the community as you have become more visible and, you know, you're quite vocal about it? What kind of influence do you think you've had in that community, and what kind of work have you been doing?
Well, aside from Paradise City Creamery, I'm a co-organizer of the Sex Workers Alliance of Nevada.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's one of a few different sex worker-led organizations here in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we basically create sanctuary spaces for sex workers to feel safe. And if they need resources, we do a lot of advocacy. And then there's another org in town, which is the Las Vegas Sex Workers Collective. And they're spearheading currently a mutual aid fund for sex workers who are being deeply affected by COVID.
Yeah.
So with that, I've actually been able to take what we do at the Creamery currently because of COVID. We're doing curbside pickup at Garage East.
Yes.
Yeah, who's amazing. Their wine is insane.
I love that place. I feel like that's going to be one of the first places when Las Vegas opens again. Like, I really want to go back there. They're just so great, and I love their wines.
Oh, my God. Orange wine. Changed my life. Just learn about it.
No, yeah. I haven't had that yet.
Yes. Drink the orange. Okay.
Done.
But with what we're doing currently through Garage East with our curbside pickup, we've actually been able to create menu items that allow people to give directly to this mutual aid fund. So there's the organizing that I do with Swan specifically, but with other organizations and the work they're trying to do currently.
Sorry, my dog. Keep going. It's my dog.
But currently we're able to get people who are purchasing our play packs.
Uh-huh. What are the play packs?
Play packs are 3 8-ounce pleasure pints.
Okay.
6 gluten-free and a 5-piece box of disco cherries. Oh my God. And $5 from every play pack is being donated to this mutual aid fund.
Yeah.
So I feel really proud about that. We've raised almost $300 so far towards it.
Congratulations. Yeah. So do you think that as you've become more public, that people have – the conversation's kind of expanded now because you are a public figure and you are now in this culinary world that, you know, I don't really feel there's many sex workers that have kind of – come in to that world. Do you think that there were roadblocks for you, or that maybe, you know, people's opinions might have been different just off the get-go, had they not, you know, if they like knew or didn't know if you were a sex worker?
Yes, actually there's one first thing I want to say is there might very well be sex workers who've crossed over to the culinary world but don't feel safe to be out.
Sure. Yep.
So being out is a privilege in and of itself. And because I've always been out, like with my blog and just talking so publicly and organizing, it was easy for me to continue that in culinary. were there roadblocks? Can you still hear me, by the way?
I can hear you, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. we're going to hope this works.
So the question was, were there any roadblocks about people knowing if I was a sex worker, like coming into culinary, right?
Yes.
I personally can't say yes, because they knew I was a sex worker. They acted this way because no one's blatantly like discriminated against me because of that. However, you know, there have been some hiccups in the beginning, like the very, very beginning, like back a couple of years ago, of people like definitely, you know, taking advantage. Somebody like straight up stole money from me who was like hired to do work and that kind of thing. So like little things, whether that was related to if I was a sex worker or not, I can't say that.
Yeah.
I will say this though, there is something, and I was just talking, I was on Chef Natalie's new podcast, Shit Chef Says.
Oh, cool.
The conversation, like I asked her this question. I was like, did you ever experience people trying to take advantage of you because of, you know, the way you look or whatever? And she's like, I think we have different experiences because the way Chef presents and the way I present, I'm very high femme. I'm flashy. I'm like, you know, I look a way that maybe Dolly Parton, you know, kind of relates to when she says it costs a lot of money to look this cheap. Like I really identify with that. And I think sometimes when people see someone who presents that way, they really underestimate what they're capable of. And a lot of that has to do with their intelligence, you know? Uh-huh. So I think sometimes the way people speak to me, they can be a little dismissive because they probably don't think that I'm at a level intellectually to get what they're saying, just because I'm over the top. I'm covered in glitter and fucking neon all the time. But that aside, yeah, that's pretty much my only experience with, like, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay. So do you think you've helped to change the way public views sex workers?
I hope so. I hope I've helped change the way the public views sex workers. Really, that is really important to me. Yes, making a great product and something that all people can like have fun experiencing is very important to me, but creating visibility for sex workers and breaking down a little bit of that stigma is, yeah, the names of the flavors are what they are for a reason. And I really hope that that'll change the way people see us.
Can you talk about some of the names of the flavors?
Some examples of the names of our flavors. On our current menu, we have the girlfriend experience, right? Mm-hmm. So for people who don't know, it's a really tongue-in-cheek thing because some people might not know what that actually is referencing. Mm-hmm. But the people who have either patronized sex work or who are sex workers know what it is. A girlfriend experience is what they call, I mean, it could be escorting, it could be stripping, it could be even with cam girls, right? But any sex worker who is paid to pretty much pretend that they're your girlfriend.
Okay.
So within the exchange of whatever service is happening, it's to lessen the feeling of things being transactional.
Okay.
So even though the transaction still happens, it's almost like being an actor, really. It's kind of impressive. Like how you just turn it on, you'll meet somebody for the first time and you'll just like act like you're their girlfriend.
Yeah.
So yeah, girlfriend experience, which is our orange liqueur creamsicle.
Yes.
It's it's so good. It's so bright and juicy and fruit forward. And it's made in the style of a sherbet.
Okay.
So it's softer and just slightly different than what our ice creams taste like, because it's a sherbet technically and not an ice cream. But we throw a bunch of like marshmallow coated cones in it to give you like that vanilla that a creamsicle would have. Mm-hmm. And it's got a little crunch in it. It's good. Yeah. That'd be the girlfriend experience. And last season we had Day Shift Diva, which was inspired by my time as a day shift stripper in New York City. And so that was our espresso chip. And it was like this deep espresso with this dark fucking chocolate in it, and it was so good and so rich. But it really was like this homage to standing on the subway at 10 in the morning, wearing my stripper hair, my stripper makeup, and all these suits around me headed to their office. And I was like with my bag and clear heels and like headed to my office. And yeah, that would be another example.
All right. So because we're having technical difficulties, what are your plans?
Ooh, future plans. Yeah, actually, I'm really, like everyone, I'm just waiting for quarantine to be over. We've got a couple of things coming up with some restaurants here in town. I don't want to say too many specifics on that just yet, but once quarantine lifts, then the cat's going to be out of the bag, and we're definitely branching out some more. Currently, we're going to be at Garage East until this is over. And yeah, every season, we're releasing 4 new flavors, so... Summer's coming up. Got some fun ideas brewing for that.
Ah, I can't wait. Yeah. So where can people find you?
Okay, so people can find us on social media. We are on Twitter at Paradise City CR because Creamery didn't fit. Facebook, Paradise City Creamery. Instagram, same, at Paradise City Creamery. And then our website, all the ordering for our curbside pickup at Garage East is done through our website, so we can like have a complete no contact service. And yeah, ParadiseCityCreamery.com.
Oh my gosh, I wish you could hear me. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
You're awesome. Thank you for bearing with me. All right, Val, Paradise City Creamery. Thank you. Have a great day. Bye. Take care. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of The Good Fork. I am host Diana Edelman of Vegans Baby. I appreciate you all so much. For more on this episode and other show notes, head over to vegansbaby.com and click on The Good Fork podcast. And for more vegan dining, vegan news, and where to go eat in Vegas and beyond, head over to vegansbaby.com. Have a great one.